God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 49 through 53. And I will admit, as we were reading this in our gospel reading for today, noticing the responses before and after the gospel reading, we have the gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, in which we respond by singing, Glory be to you, O Lord. And then the end of that, this is the gospel of the Lord, and we say, praise be to you, O Christ. I'd have to really have to have you be challenged by this as we look at our text. Where is the gospel? It may not seem to jump out at you. What does Jesus talk about? He talks about fire. He talks about, do you think I brought peace? Guess again. Not peace, but division. What is he really talking about? I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a fire or been touched by fire, it hurts. It burns. It's not pleasant. Typically, children, young children, only touch an open flame once. After that, they learn their lesson. And division? Division even within families. Our text says, father against son, mother against daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Sometimes the closest relationships in a family are now going to be fighting and bickering. Again, I have to ask, where's the gospel? It doesn't seem to be evident. What seems to be evident, however, is a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of turmoil. So what happens when pain, suffering, and turmoil enters our lives? I don't know about you, but I don't have to go too far in my own life before some sort of pain, suffering, or turmoil occurs. And what happens when that occurs? Am I delighted by it? No, usually I try to escape from it. Usually I try to run away from it as much as possible, but sometimes there is just certain pain, suffering, and turmoil that I can't run away from. Then what do? I sort of bite my lip, endure it, and suffer through, hoping and praying it does not come again. However, that isn't what Jesus is encouraging us to do. Actually, one essence, a little bit of the opposite. Jesus is basically saying he's the one who is coming to bring the fire. This may sound kind of strange until we go back to what was the purpose of fire. Fire can do a couple of different things, one of which is to consume, to burn, to destroy. But fire also has a positive quality. In dealing with precious metals, fire has that ability to purify, to make pure, to burn off all the impurities so that all that's left, typically when working with gold, you purify gold through fire so that all that's left is pure gold. You don't want any of the junk. You just want the good stuff. It's that definition of fire that Jesus is working with here. He has come to bring fire on the earth. And yes, that is a true fire. In one essence, Jesus will come and destroy. On the last day, everyone will be raised, put before Jesus. Those who believe and trust in him will be purified and brought to eternal life. Those who do not believe and trust in him will be destroyed through eternal death and damnation. That fire is appropriate. That was Jesus' purpose on coming. Not necessarily to doom people to damnation, just the opposite. We were already doomed to damnation. Because of our sin, from Adam and Eve first sinning in the Garden of Eden, they were doomed to eternal death and damnation. That sin was passed down from generation to the next generation. Because of all that sin and each sin that we commit, we are assured to be doomed to that eternal death and damnation. That is our fate, our plight. And the fire will be the ultimate. But Jesus wants to bring another fire, a fire of purity, so that we will not be burned, but treasured. A fire that will bring us to be with him in heaven above, as co-heirs of eternal life. That's the fire that Jesus wants us to consider. We are already destined to eternal death and damnation. Jesus has come to purify us. He has come to bring fire on the earth. And when did that purification process take place? Not at the last day, no. It took place when Jesus went to the cross. When Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we appear before our Heavenly Father as holy, as pure, as perfect. That is the fire Jesus is talking about here. He has come to bring fire, that purity, upon the earth, and how he wished it was already kindled. He is making his way to Jerusalem. The fire hasn't been kindled yet. He knows his purpose. His purpose is to go to the cross, to die for our salvation. But he says, I have a baptism to undergo. Now, this may really confuse us. We may remember at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he turned 30 years of old, and that's when a male is able to begin his preaching, so to speak, he was what? He was baptized by John the Baptist. Not that he had any sin that needed to be forgiven, no. He said, just let it be this way. This is what must take place. So he has already been baptized once. Why does he say here, but I have a baptism to undergo? Well, here we're talking about a different type of baptism. We're not talking necessarily a type of baptism in which water is poured upon an individual, but yet water is very significant. Do you remember when Jesus died on the cross? It happened to be the day before the Passover. The religious leaders didn't want the bodies on the cross during the Passover celebration, so they had Pilate break the bones so that would speed up their death. But when they came to Jesus, they didn't break his bones because they perceived he was already dead. What did they do? They stuck a spear into his side. And out of Jesus came what? Blood and water. The reason why that is significant, it showed that he was dead already for a period of time because blood will naturally settle. And what will appear looks like a watery substance. He's talking about that in the purification process. A baptism to undergo. Yes, water did come out of him. And his blood. Again, for the forgiveness of our sins. So that we will be purified before our Heavenly Father and now destined to eternal life. And notice he goes on and says, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Jesus knows this is where he wants to be. Not that he has in his mind suicide. No, this is the job that he has to complete. The salvation of the world, not the taking of his life. Now, with the salvation of the world, you would think that this would be a good thing. This would be a wonderful thing. The world is now clean. The world is now pure. The world can now have eternal life because of him. But he goes on to say, do you think I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. Do we not remember what the angels sang? Glory be to God on the highest and peace to people on earth at the announcement of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Was not our Savior coming to bring peace on earth? Yes, between God and humanity. But very often when we think about peace and when we think about divisions, we're not necessarily thinking about peace between us and God. We're thinking about peace and divisions between us and other people. That's where this peace is coming from. Jesus didn't come to bring restoration and peace between families or between nations. No. Jesus says just the opposite. Division. This may sound real strange, but let's put it like this. If you consider for a moment a lot of the conflicts in our world's history, even the conflict maybe going on still in Iraq, what's one of the key things to these type of conflicts? Yeah, you got greed of certain individuals, but somewhere along the line, unfortunately, religion seems to pop up. You have the Muslims fighting with the Christians fighting with the Muslims. The Jewish nation also coming in there. Strangely enough, religion has a lot to do with a lot of our world conflicts. Not all, but it does have a lot. Isn't it interesting? Jesus is sort of predicting that. Because of his upcoming death and because of his upcoming resurrection, there's going to be divisions. And even divisions that affect the family. Are not families sometimes torn apart because of religion? The answer is yes. It wasn't too long ago, even in the history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, they were talking about when their children would get married and how deplorable it was to have a mixed marriage. And their version of a mixed marriage would be a Missouri Synod Lutheran marrying an American Lutheran. Nowadays, families are deplored when those mixed marriages are with a Christian versus a non-Christian. Religion does have a place. And sometimes families even fight over it. So again, as I started, where's the good news? The good news actually comes back to the fire. The fire that purifies, the fire that saves us, the fire that was once going to consume us is now going to deliver us. But now comes the real hard and challenging question. See, as we take a look at our text, we see that in order for this healing to take place, it's got to be painful. It was painful to our Lord and Savior. It cost him his life. He was crucified, one of the most worst ways of dying, but through that painful event, brought healing to all of humanity. The reason why I'm titling this message A Painful Healing, because we don't have to go too far even in our own physical lives to find out that in order for true healing to take place, there's got to be a little bit of pain. In order for confession between family members to take place, in order for one person to say, you know, I'm sorry, I screwed up, someone's got to swallow their pride, and that can be painful. If you've ever broken a bone and you're in rehab and recovery, I don't have to say anything more. It's usually very, very painful. Even a lot of our learning experiences, unfortunately, as we grow and develop as human beings, can be painful. So why should we be surprised that when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has to redeem the world, that it wouldn't be painful? It was. But what happens when we come into our own families again, or on the workplace, or in our relationship with neighbors or society, and pain comes up? Does that pain bring about a healing? It can. It may if it was done in the right way, but sometimes it may not. Sometimes that pain will increase, and there will be divisions. Sometimes those divisions can be healed through a lot of work, and sometimes they can't be healed. Again, where would be the good news then? The good news is, what was the purpose and why Jesus came? Was it so that we could all get along on this earth? No, he says. He didn't come to bring that kind of peace. He came to bring division. The type of healing he came to bring was our salvation. And sometimes when families suffer because of all the turmoil and the hatred and the agony between them, and relationships are torn apart, there may not be any way of bringing them back together again because of the anger and the hatred. What does the Christian do? Go back to the beginning of our text. Realize what Jesus was trying to do, to purify us. To purify you. You see, you cannot change other people. No matter how hard you may try, you cannot. There's only one person you can change, and that's yourself. Jesus has changed you already. He was able to do it. He's able to change other people. And that occurs through the waters of holy baptism. When we were brought to that baptismal font, we were changed from an enemy of God now to a son of God. By the waters of holy baptism and the connection of God's word, that's plain and simple water. A change took place. And because of that change, we have eternal life. What am I alluding to when family turmoil and, aggravation seems just to max us to our limits, we're not necessarily going to solve all the problems here on earth. We go back to God's Word. We go back to God's Word as the source of our strength and the comfort of our eternal life. We go back to God's Word and the purity in which Jesus has now cleansed us with, now that we are sons and daughters of God seeking eternal life. We have it because of what Jesus has accomplished. Sometimes we're not going to bring healing here on earth, but we have to remember that Jesus healed us in relationship with Him. What am I alluding to? Basically, some problems in our physical relationships here on earth will never be solved. We try to work on them, but they're just some of them that will never go away. That should not consume us or weigh us down. Instead, we refocus ourselves back to the cross and Him crucified. We go back to the healing process in which we are healed when pain and agony strikes us. We go back to the true gospel, looking at Jesus as our Savior and our Deliverer. Why? Because if we open up the newspapers or watch the news on TV, we will see a lot of pain and a lot of suffering, and we have no control over that. We may be able to help out a little bit here and there, but Jesus says, what's truly important? Do you believe and trust in the fire He brings to purify the earth, and that through that fire you have eternal life? The true gospel, Jesus and Him crucified for the forgiveness of our sins? That is where our hope is in. Our hope is not in just peace on earth and friends and having all our families being friendly with each other, or even friends with all the other nations. That's ideal, but that isn't our true faith and hope. Our true faith and hope is in what Jesus has accomplished for us and our eternal life. So when the going gets tough, you could say the tough gets going back to God. Back to His Word, back to His sacraments, being driven to what is pure and holy, being driven to what is perfect. Because as we take a look at our own lives, we realize we are not perfect. We are filled with many blemishes. We are not healed. We go back to the One who brings the ultimate source of healing, and we trust in His grace and His mercy, and we ask Him to strengthen us. Why? Because when pain and suffering and turmoil comes in our lives, it does consume us. It does distract us. It does drain our energy. So where do we get our strength from? What does our liturgy say? We may remember on page 3, my response is, our help is in the name of the Lord. Your response was, who made heaven and earth. That is where our help is. That is where our strength is. It's not in the unity of the world, or the togetherness of families, or corporations. Our help is in what the Lord has done. And so when we need that strength, when we need that encouragement, we go back to the Lord and say, Lord, strengthen me. We come to the Lord's table to receive His body and blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins, to be strengthened in that faith, to be assured of the forgiveness of sins, and that through that we have eternal life. No, it's not going to solve family, work, and societal problems, but it brings us comfort that we're only here on this earth for a certain period of time, but yet our Lord has delivered us from certain death to certain life. That is where our strength, our hope, our comfort comes to. So this day, we see our Lord experiencing a painful healing. He knows what the cross is going to bring. And in our own lives, we don't have to go too far to see that same painful event occur or something similar. Again, we go to the cross for the source of our healing. So on this day, we come before our Lord and say, Lord, give me that strength. Give me that mercy to truly understand and follow through on what truly is important. not to be consumed by the world around us and the frustrations and tensions, but to focus our hearts on Jesus, as our epistle reading said, the author and perfecter of our faith. In that, we have the gospel of our Lord. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.